your word read and proclaimed, may it stir us from our sense of complacency. May it challenge us in our own faith journey. And may the power of your Holy Spirit, may our hearts be set on fire to do your work each and every day of our lives. In your name, we very humbly pray. Amen. In this fall sermon series, Taking Jesus Seriously, we have been looking at selected readings, and a lot of our time has been spent in the Gospel of St. Luke. This is a continuation of Luke's Gospel. It is called the Parable of the Pharisee and the Tax Collector. Listen now for the Word of God as it may speak to you. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Jesus said, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. You may remain seated as we sing our next hymn, number 258, Holy Wisdom. Tune was familiar to you. Our accompanist this morning reminded me or told me that it is the opening hymn that the nuns sang in Sister Act.
Yes, it is. You're welcome.
Isn't that amazing? Who would have guessed? Join me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable into your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. May those things said that are true be engraved upon every heart, and those things said that are false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. Our text comes from that first verse that I shared with you from Luke's Gospel. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. There is absolutely, positively nothing that turns off the unchurched, the spiritual but not religious, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, and the duns, those who have been burned by church, than self-righteousness and judgmentalism. Faith becomes toxic when it becomes self-righteous and judgmental. The parable that Jesus shared in today's reading is directed toward those who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down upon or despised others. In other words, the self-righteous. The self-righteous are so sure of themselves that they are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God sees the world through their eyes. And rather being made in the image of God, they have made God in their own image. In the parable, the Pharisees looked down upon those people. The thieves, the prostitutes, the adulterers, the tax collectors. And nothing was more maddening to them than that Jesus kept company with those people. In the parable, the Pharisee is a pillar in the community. He is the epitome of piety. The tax collector, on the other hand, was considered to be a sellout, a traitor, a snitch, someone who is just a little bit above the scum of the earth, if not the scum of the earth itself, or maybe even below the lowest scum of the earth. The Pharisee and the tax collector went to the temple. The Pharisee made his way down front. Unlike modern Protestants, we try to avoid the front. But the front nearest to the holiest of holies was the prime space. And so the Pharisee made himself down front so God could be sure to hear him. And then he prayed in a loud enough voice that I suspect that even the tax collector heard him. God, I am so glad that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers and prostitutes, that I'm not even like that tax collector back there. Want to make sure I didn't point to you back here. He was quite pious. He was quite impressed with himself. And he was confident that God was also impressed with him. But the truth of the matter is that he was so full of himself that there was no room in his heart for God. As one commentator wrote, the Pharisee's prayer reeked of arrogance. I am very sad to admit that self-righteousness is alive and well in Christianity today. How many times do we divide ourselves from others, one denomination or congregation from another, saying and convincing ourselves that we have a truer and purer faith than another, and therefore we will not share communion or baptism or fellowship or prayer with one another? How often do we Christians fail to remember that Jesus once said that God makes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust alike? That God shows no partiality, except perhaps to the least, the last, the lost, the lonely, the forgotten. Those who have nowhere else to turn. People who take Jesus seriously recognize that they need to be a little bit humble. In the words of the old hymn, which has great theology but a terrible tune to sing, God is working out his purpose as year follows year. All we can do is nothing worth unless God bless the deed. A word to the wise. There are two things in life that do not wear well. One is sarcasm, and the other is self-righteousness. Because, you see, both sarcasm and self-righteousness invariably lead to having a judgmental attitude. Survey after survey says that one of the main reasons why people outside the church walls do not want to come inside the church walls is because they see Christians as primarily being judgmental. Self-righteous people love judging other people. It makes them feel better about themselves. In Matthew's gospel, in what is called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to his listeners, "Judge not, lest ye be judged, for by the measure that ye judged, so shall ye be judged. Why do you look at the speck in your neighbor's eye and yet ignore the log in your own eye?" Jesus ended his parable by telling his listeners and the first century Christians in Luke's church and us today that when the two worshipers went to the temple that day, so long ago, it was the tax collector who was justified in the eyes of God. The proper attitude for those who wish to take Jesus seriously is to be humble, realizing that we are not perfect. And with our own shortcomings in mind, we realize that we are in no position to judge or to condemn another person. Now, that does not mean that we do not hold other people accountable for what they do. And nor does it mean that we do not hold ourselves accountable for what we do. We take responsibility for our actions and our attitudes, but it does mean that we do not judge the other person. For they too are a child of God. The challenge for the Christian community, the challenge for those who wish to take Jesus seriously is this: to remember that we have been saved not for privilege, but rather for service. We have been saved to serve. We are the lighthouses in a world that is too often filled with darkness. We are who we are, not because of our own efforts, but by the grace of God that enabled us to be born in a place where we have endless opportunity that is the envy of the world. We need to be both thankful and humble for that. We need to be thankful and humble for God's grace. God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me and maybe you. And for God's grace, for God's salvific grace that calls us to serve, I think we can truly say with glad and joyful hearts, to God be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, we are thankful for your amazing salvific grace and for your call to us to be servants in this world, to walk in the dust, the footsteps of the Rabbi Jesus, whom we call to be the Christ, we know to be the Christ. We are thankful that he taught us your way, a better way, a way that leads to real truth and to real life to its fullest. Do not let us be distracted by shiny objects and by squirrels in whatever shape they may take, but let us keep focused upon Christ and his kingdom. Lord God, we pray for those who mourn, especially those who mourn the loss of loved ones who have completed this part of life's journey. We lift up in prayer Dave Heinrichsen and the family of Bonnie Heinrichsen, who now dwells eternally in the company of your saints. We are thankful that you have received into your presence a sheep of your flock, a lamb of your fold, and a sinner of your redeeming. That she now knows you as you have always known her. We pray for David and the family as they prepare her earthly arrangements. May they be blessed with many happy memories, given the strength and the wisdom that they need. Lord God, we pray for all the broken places of this world, for those who have lost their homes because of fire, for those firefighters who risk their lives in the area of California, as well as all of the firefighters and the officers who risk their lives daily and their families. We pray for victims. We pray for aggressors. We pray for those areas that are torn with war, plagued by famine, for the homeless, for the forgotten. This is a big world, Lord, and it is a broken world that calls for big people to address problems. Lord, may we be given the wisdom to do what we can do with the resources that we have and to use them in such a way that your name is glorified. We pray for the President of the United States, the Governor of the State of Illinois, the Mayor of the City of Peoria, and all of our surrounding communities. We pray for all of the worshiping communities in the Peoria area as well as across the world. We pray for the Executive Board of this congregation and the Board of Deacons as they continue to do their ministries. We pray for ourselves. Hear all of our prayers, whether they be spoken or unspoken, whether they be spoken, given to you now or in the days and the hours to come. Hear them and answer them according to your will, but Lord, most importantly, make us perceptive to your will as we go about the living of our own lives, so that when our lives come to an end, we might hear the gentle whisper of the Creator of the ends of the earth say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the glory that has been prepared for you since before the dawn of the age." All of these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.